Hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get a conversation started with friends, family, the person you meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So I got some home projects going on, buttoning everything up right before winter hits. And I've got a little section of deck that needed some new boards. And in the process of buying the stuff for the boards, I bought new deck screws for it. And as I was checking out, the cashier dude was saying about the price of screws, how they've just gone up. They've skyrocketed. And he's older. I'm sure he remembers a better, simpler time of when you went into the local hardware store and you straight up paid for nails and screws by the pound. Actually go scoop them out of the bucket, put them into a scale, and write down how much you're actually paying for. 5 cents, 10 cents a pound. But what is a screw? It's a very elaborate nail, if we were to put it so simply. A nail is just a straight shank with a flat head to be hammered through to hold two pieces together. And a screw has a slightly more technology all built into it. It's got threads on the outside. Flatheads are flathead screwdrivers, at least, for the screws. Nice and easy and cheap to make. Phillips heads, a little bit more complicated, but technology's been around long enough to make it cheap enough to do such things. And the screws that I bought, Torx bit heads, 6 points on the inside. A little bit more funky of a design, but put a lot more pressure on the screw when drilling it in or taking it out. And then the material of the screws. You go out, you buy different materials, different tensile strengths, depending on the form and function of the screw that needs to be weather adherent or tension adherent. These deck screws have a coating on them so that way they won't rust as easily, as quickly. And they have fancy features in them too. We've all heard of, maybe not all of us, but there's self-tapping screws out there with different starting points on the end, depending on if you're drilling through metal or through wood, just so that way you don't have to pre-drill. Saves you some time. A little bit of innovation goes a long way. Seen screws with one style of cut, and yet these screws that I purchased this time around have a significantly different cut. Different technology, different idea, different application on how it goes through the wood, through the material. And so the price of screws has gone up through the more advanced materials, different alloys mixing together, different bits of metal, get different results. Again, the coatings, the complexity of cutting the notches for the head, for the driver of choice. And then all the technology, all the research and development in creating these new threads, creating the new designs again for the self-tapping situation. And so yes, we can say that price of screws has gone up, and legitimately so. Someone has built a better mousetrap. And it's a combination of time and money. How much is your time worth? We can save some money by not buying these expensive screws and buying one or two drill bits. Pre-drill everything and buy some cheaper screws, or just buy nails. Specific nails, probably half the cost. Do they hold as well? Probably, for as much as they need to be holding down things. But I'm sure so much more goes into just the price of screws, just from how they're made specifically, but where they're made. How many rules and regulations do we have put in place that prevents us from making certain materials here in the United States? And it's for protecting the environment. We don't want to output all these terrible chemicals. Who knows what kind of coating is on this screw, this deck screw, to make it resilient to the weather? Is there some sort of terrible chemical byproduct? Does it cause cancer in the state of California? Maybe. And so we outsource certain things. We place them out there, outside of our purview, out of sight, out of mind. Certain things don't get past us, though. We've seen the terrible waste sewage plants that overflow and do damage, or we have our situation like Three Mile Island, or we've seen things like Fukushima, where we see outright destruction through the creation of something bigger and better in our attempt to improve on things, but also the cost of labor. And we think about the current battle going on right now for the American worker, pushing ever so hard for $15 an hour. Here in Seattle, $15 an hour doesn't get you anywhere, barely anywhere. Even with a full-time job in the greater Seattle area, it's going to be tough affording a single-bedroom apartment. But such is the nature of supply and demand around here. But is it worth paying an individual to watch over a machine to make a 25-cent screw, 30-cent screw? We'll go elaborate. We'll say 30 cents per screw to make sure things don't bind up. Maybe it's only worth $8 an hour for them to watch a machine. If they were hand-carving each of these screws, hand-casting them, maybe it's worth $15, $20 an hour. Sitting there smelting the metal to pour into each individual cast. More and more difficult labor justifies it. Or is this screw outsourced to some third world country where a company is willing to pay them 30 cents a day? Then they make 200 screws a day and it's pure profit for the company. Minus that terrible 30 cents a day that they have to pay each individual worker. But the cost of screws has gone up. The cost of everything has gone up. And there's a big part of it that has to do, again, with supply and demand. People wanting more and more things. Home repair items, home improvement items have skyrocketed since the beginning of the great pandemic of the coronavirus. Everybody working from home, so everybody's got extra time to do all these little things around the house. Clearing out the backlog, the back stock of housing supplies. But such is the nature. Everybody who owns a house has to do some repairs at certain points in time. And when you have the time, why not? Save yourself a couple bucks on a contractor. And so the backlog at the ports doesn't help the supply and demand issue, but there is supply stocked up somewhere. It will come through eventually, be it this year or next year or maybe the year after, depending on when people decide to get off their butts and start doing actual work. But again, we need that $15 an hour situation. Everybody needs a fair minimum wage. People need to be able to afford to eat in exchange for their efforts. Their labor need to be repaid appropriately in a fashion that is able to fit within society. And so as we sit here and we say the cost of screws has gone up, do we think about how the screws got into the store? How the food got to the store? It's all done by trucking. It's one of the magical things about the United States and the interstate, the freeway. Semi-trucks upon semi-trucks upon semi-trucks. Going from main destination to main destination. Shipping warehouse to product warehouse. And all of that stuff costs money. Gotta pay the driver, right? And those drivers are usually paid by the mile. When we think about the trucking situation, we think, oh, they work for, who's a big shipping truck company? I don't know. There's so many around. So many different companies have their own trucks. But then you have contractors out there, individuals who will drive trucks on their own. They will invest. They will purchase a semi-truck. And the last rumor that I heard, I haven't gone shopping for semis, but $250,000 vehicle for, I would assume, a mid-grade one. But I'm sure those prices have gone up. But you have an individual that has a house on wheels. That is their means of production, their office, the way that they make money. And when they contract out, they usually contract out as a a price per mile? Is it 9 cents per mile? Is it 13 cents per mile? And all within that general cost for the driver, it has to include the cost of the car payment, the office payment, has to cover personal taxes to pay to the government, has to pay for insurance, both health and home and vehicle insurance. Got to be able to squirrel away money for repairs. Cars break down, tires wear out. Even if you take care of them to the best of your ability, things still need to be replaced. You got to have enough money to set aside to call a tow truck in the worst case scenario. So how do you find a budget, a fair price to charge a company that needs to get these screws across the country or just across the state? We'll say they make them in the middle of a state and they just need a handful of truckers. They can't afford to buy their own fleet, so they hire it out. How do they choose which truckers to pay at 12 cents a mile or 15 cents a mile? Does someone come in and lowball them at 9 cents a mile? What do you get on your price of return? Do you get a timely delivery? Do you get a trailer that's neatly packaged when it arrives? Or is it all just a mess because he hit every curb going through town? But can that driver again afford the gas when he says, I'll do it for 9 cents a gallon or 9 cents a mile? Is he pilfering gas from the local truck stop? So the truck drivers need to again justify their miles to the gallon, cost per mile to deliver something. And so they have to pass it on to the business, either the shipping or receiving business. Well, the shipping business, and then the receiving business pays the shipping business to receive the product, and then to offset that little bit of extra cost in gas, they send it off to the customer. Extra dollar here, extra dollar there. Because it's not just screws that went up on the delivery cost, it's everything. I remember during the Great Recession, gas had gone up to $4 a gallon, practically overnight. Probably within a month or two, it went from somewhere around the $3 range, maybe a little bit more, it skyrocketed up to the $4 range. The economy practically shut down, even here in the greater Seattle area. Massive slowdowns. No one could afford $4 a gallon at all. I remember trying to get stuff shipped, and I was getting charged a fuel surcharge tax. They were actually out in the open about it that time. And eventually prices went down. Who knows if the fuel surcharge tax stayed and it just kind of went into an underlining line item that just kind of gets filtered in instead of being told right out the front that you're getting charged. And we're now back up to $4 a gallon. It's kind of crazy that a mere 10 months ago it was $3 a gallon. Before the end of January it was up over $3 a gallon. Mere months, what was it, 8 months, and it was up to $4 a gallon. As of yesterday, when I drove by the gas station, it was $4.10 a gallon. We're only getting started. But we have inflation. We have a currency that's gone down in value because we've printed so much up. There's so much floating around. The government gave out so much free money that everybody has money to spend. And so $4 a gallon doesn't seem as bad now, apparently, because I'm sure people are still buying and wheeling and dealing and driving around and having a grand old time being able to afford the $4 a gallon. No one drove last year, so everybody had a little bit of extra money. And so the cost of screws has gone up. Cost of everything has gone up. And it may come down eventually at some point, but I almost feel that this may be kind of our new normal, something that we need to budget for. We have new taxes coming down the line. It's okay. It's only a fraction of a percent. We'll just tack on that to the other fractions of a percent. They'll all build up and add up, and the screws will be just that much more expensive. But talking points, simple enough. Ideas, concepts, little things to get the gears turning. Maybe we're on the same page, maybe we're not. Maybe I've gone so far off course, you're sitting there going, why am I even listening to this guy? And this guy that you're listening to, I'm me, Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter and Gab at Billy Bones. You can find me on the Mastodon, the Fediverse, at BillyBones at NoAgendaSocial.com. Feel free to shoot me a short little email, a short little diatribe. Let me know what's going on. But if 140 characters isn't enough for you, go to the website, BillyBones.com. Again, that is spelt with the number 3 instead of the E. There you will find links to Discord and email. And write to your heart's content. Let me know what you're thinking, if you feel like it. No commitment is required. But I do have one request for you, because this is a value for value podcast. If you found value out of this episode or the collection, fantastic, I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is give the show a share. Maybe someone else comes up with an idea, a talking point, a little gear turning. But if you think that this show is worth a monetary value, if you think that I've earned a cup of coffee, or maybe just a nickel in the hat, you go to BillyBones.com, you scroll all the way down, you click that value for value button, it'll take you to PayPal, and you can chip in, you can donate, you can support the show with whatever number you feel is appropriate. But thanks for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.